In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Amen. I have these episodic memories of Easter as a child. My grandmother was a whiz with needle and thread, so my memories of Easter begin with fancier than normal clothes. Those onesie suits that have the buttons on the shoulders and short pants, and then some panel of embroidery on the chest. And those fancy clothes also came with a bundle of admonitions of what I could and couldn't do on Easter because of the way that I was dressed. I remember dyeing Easter eggs and hunting them on Easter morning. And I remember, and maybe this is a Texas thing, you tell me, but I also remember dyed chickens. Do you remember this? No. Why on earth anyone would dye a chicken, I don't know, but I do remember them. And I also remember that they were a little bit like carnival goldfish in that they didn't live very long. And I suppose having your feathers coated in some sort of toxic dye probably could hasten death. I also remember one Easter when I was very little. We got two ducks for Easter, my brother and I. We named them Jimmy and Reed. We didn't have them very long because the neighbors complained of the noise that they made early in the morning, and so we took them to the pond, which was in front of the zoo. We fed them some white bread, and we let them go into that pond where other ducks also made their home. Each time we would visit the zoo as children, the first two white ducks with orange bills that we spotted, my brother and I would say, "Look, there they are, Jimmy and Reed. They made it." As we grew, my memories of Easter shift a bit to country club buffets if we were visiting my grandparents in Oklahoma, or of pretty ornate dining room tables if we were at my mother's house in Houston. Those childhood memories I have of Easter are for the most part good. It was fun playing around with backyard chickens and ducks. I loved hunting for Easter eggs, especially finding that one that would be wrapped in aluminum foil and have a dollar bill on the inside. I think for the most part, I enjoyed the ham and the lamb and the glam that was my childhood Easter experience. And I'm struck by the fact that my childhood Easter experience, and likely yours too, our childhood Easter experience, couldn't be any more different from the story that we have from Mark's gospel this morning. If Mark's account of Easter is characterized by a single emotion, that emotion is fear. The story ends with, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." If we step back from our own Easter experience of the eggs and the flowers and the bonnets, the time with friends and loved ones, of a packed church and lots of smiles, if we step back from our own experience and immerse ourselves in the story that Mark tells us this morning, it's no wonder the account is characterized by fear. It's a scary story, at least when we're in the middle of it. And any number of dyed eggs or dyed chickens can't change that. But I'm drawn to it nonetheless. And I think I am because there's a measure of authenticity to the story Mark tells us about Jesus that's absent in a bluish chicken. A lot. You could say everything has changed for these women who wake up before the sun to make a pilgrimage to a graveyard where it would be their grim and sacred task to bathe and anoint the murdered body of their teacher and friend, Jesus. At that particular moment, for them, all was lost. And losing everything is scary. In his book, Canoeing the Mountains, Todd Bolsinger says, "It isn't change that people fear. It's loss. We're not so much afraid of things of the world changing around us. We're afraid of losing those things that connect us, that tether us to our known world and our known relationships and our known culture. We can even find ourselves afraid to lose things that don't even serve us well, but we're afraid because those things are familiar. They're known. When we're in the middle of it, that kind of loss is scary. To be sure, Jesus, this resurrected Jesus, this Easter Jesus we'll get to know in the weeks ahead, this Easter Jesus does indeed represent loss to the disciples, to the women who've come to anoint him, and to you and to me. It's fair to say that when we're in the middle of it, it's lost. We do lose something when we're connected to the Easter Jesus, and it is scary. I don't believe the things that we lose with the Easter Jesus are necessarily good for us. I don't think the things we lose contribute to human flourishing or help give us a life that's deeper and richer and more meaningful, yet they're familiar. And it's a loss. If you remember, Jesus says early on in his ministry, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." I suppose with the Easter Jesus, we might lose a sense of what blessing looks like if we were given to think that it was the wealthy in spirit, the happy, the strong, the self-sufficient who are blessed. At mid-stride in his ministry, the same Jesus says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." If we were holding on to a strong us versus them mentality, well, then it vanishes as we apprentice ourselves to the Easter Jesus. Another loss. Toward the end of his ministry, Jesus says, "If any of you want to become my disciples, you must take up your cross and follow me." The Easter Jesus seems to be demanding our very lives. That can be scary. Paul acknowledges the loss in his letter to the church in Philippi. He puts the loss in perspective. He says, "More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may know Jesus and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in him, the righteousness from God based on faith." pretty bold statement from the super apostle Paul. But it's hopeful. It is. But it's a tough hopeful. It isn't easy to get there, and I'm certain we wouldn't get there on our own. We need each other. In following the Easter Jesus, we lose in order to gain. It's not a tepid life of lowest common denominator compromise that we gain either. It's the very opposite of that. A life where blessing is extended to all rather than some. A life where there aren't two sides, one against the other, but one side leaning, always leaning toward love. A life that no matter how short, how hard, how weird, or how unexpected, a life that is connected to God, who we know to be love. And we know that perfect love casts out fear. Amen.